Welcome to Christ Community Church, where we like to start fights between marriage. No, I'm kidding. But listen, isn't God good? It's good to worship and it's good to laugh, amen? Man, because we don't want to be the frozen chosen, you know? It's just like, we're so holy that we can't even laugh. I love to see my own children laugh. Isn't it awesome? When they're having a good time, I said, man, we should have fun here in the house of the Lord, amen? Should I just be all boring and it's like, shh. No chewing gum. No, it's like, no, I don't think God, you know, God didn't. Listen, Jesus had the harshest words to what? The uber religious. And the people who came to him in faith and sincerity, those are the people who got it. The people who got to touch and see Jesus. And so for us, I would say it's in our mission. We want to be authentic in our worship, in our fellowship with each other. Amen. And so if you're somebody that doesn't like to laugh or you get offended by that, you know, we're going to pray for you. But welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Mike Rodriguez. I'm the lead pastor here. And man, it's already been a blessed morning. Man, God is so good. He's so faithful and kind. Amen. And we're going to be getting into the Word today. We're going to be learning out of the book of Acts today. And the title of the sermon is Surviving the Storms. Surviving the Storms. I don't know if you know this, but there was a theme, even the worship song, about storms and wind coming because... Listen, if you've been alive, you know, longer than, I don't know, like a few years, you know the storms are coming. Amen? This is as you get older. And listen, when you meet Christ, you are not exempt from the storms, right? But the way that we approach the storm is different. And that's what we're going to be learning about today. We're going to be in the book of Acts. We're going to be learning from Paul and his last trip that he made, if you guys remember. But let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Acts 27. And we're going to be spending a lot of time there learning about how to survive the storms that come in life. Amen? And so if you have your Bibles with you, it's Acts 27. And if you don't, then you can always follow along up on the screen. So let's go ahead and read. We're going to be reading out of chapter 9, but... Listen, before I start, let me just give you guys a little context. Paul has already been, he's given his testimony, he's actually arrested again, and he's now in, if you read, the first part of 27, and actually 26, he's given his testimony, he's called again to defend his faith in front of King Agrippa, right? And he's a descendant of King Herod. You guys remember that? Herod is the one who decapitated, you guys remember John the Baptist, and also James. So... King Agrippa, he's giving his testimony, and he's giving it, and he's recounting again, time and time again, his conversion story. Now, King Agrippa was about to let him go, but Paul knows that God has called him to go somewhere, a country that is shaped like a boot. Italy, man, you guys are so smart. What's our tagline? The smartest and most beautiful church in all of Sangre, California. Amen? Amen. So he knows, because God has called him, he knows that he has to go and stand before Caesar, and he wants to go to Rome, right? And so King Agrippa even says, man, if you hadn't appealed to Caesar, I would have let you go. But because he did, he now is charged with a centurion, and now he's getting put on a boat, right? And he's on his way to make a trip to Rome. This is where... this particular passage of scripture that we read picks up. And so we'll start in verse 9. Verse 9 says, much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous, because by now it was the day of atonement. And so Paul warned them, men, I see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo, and to our own lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. And since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. Let's stop there. So what's just happening, right? They've landed. Stephen, go ahead and throw that map up on the screen. You guys know I love maps. This is a true story. when I had my first car, I went to Kmart that first week, and I bought myself a big old, remember the Rand McNally books? Man, that's I'm dating myself. The kids are like, what? It was a physical map, guys, of the whole country, and I was like, oh, look at right here. This is where the 40 goes, and this is where the 10 goes, in case I was ever lost. So you guys are so fortunate now that you just have your phones, right? You can look at it, and before you would go through, and I remember sometimes we'd go to LA with my parents and get off and go ask for instructions at the gas station. I don't want to go. You go. It's your turn. You guys remember that? Some of you guys are old enough to know what that's like, right? So I'm into maps. So this is a map of Acts 27 and 28 of Paul's journey. Now, he's over here in Caesarea, right? This is where he was giving his testimony to King Agrippa. They make a trip up to Sidon, and then they're right over here. Now, here is where we're having the conversation. He's telling them, guys, it's pretty dangerous. We should not go. Now, what's interesting about this is that Paul is a man of God. Yes or no? He is, right? If you know godly people in your life, heads up, you should pay attention. Right? If they have some wisdom to speak to you, if they breathe in life to you, you should probably just listen. What do they do? Do they listen to Paul? No, they don't, right? Because in verse, it tells us right there. It says, listen, he says, listen, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to our ship and cargo and even our lives. But in 11, it says the centurion insisted, but instead of listening to Paul, he listened to the advice and the pilot and the owner of the ship. And sometimes, listen, this is not one of the fill, this is a freebie, it's not a fill in the blank. You need to make sure that you're listening to godly people. You need to, number one, make sure you're listening to God. But secondly, be on the lookout, because people who love you and care about you that sometimes will point out a blind spot. And as mad as you get, you ever been in the car? When you're driving and somebody points out their blind spot, and then you pretend like you saw it. I saw it. I'm like, oh man, I almost crashed. Inside, you won't say it out loud. Does that ever happen to you? Man, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, all the time. Thank you. There's one honest brother in the room. It happens to me too. Okay, this is my confession. Not the Usher song, but my confession about that. Sometimes I'm driving and my wife's like, be careful. I saw it. Thank God I didn't see it. Right? Does that make sense? Listen, be careful. Use insight. People love you. They care about you. They're not just trying to be all up in your business. Now, some people are trying to be up in your business. Yes or no? But there's people that do love you. They're saying, hey, be careful. Watch out. That's not of God. Hey, look at over here. Yes or no? Listen up, guys. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Because sometimes we're going to then turn around and say, oh, but I'd rather listen to my friend who's going to co-sign this bad check. You know people who want to co-sign bad checks all the time? You're, I think about doing this. Oh, yeah, brother, sister, you should totally do that. And that's not of God. Never happened to you? You need to run away from those people. Amen. You need to prune them. Right? So, this is the first mistake that happens. The centurion didn't listen to the man of God. Instead, he listened to what was a so-called expert, the pilot and the, what? The owner of the ship. Sometimes it might even seem like that person has insight. But listen, they may not be filled with the Holy Spirit, amen? And so you got to be very you got to be very mindful who you're listening to, who is your counsel, amen? Because there's a way that seems right to God, but what it ends up in, it's up to death. You guys know that, right? So, listen, we got to be very mindful of that. Let's keep reading. I just had to stop there. Now, in verse 13, it says, and then, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed an anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. But before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the northeastern swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm, and they could not head into the wind, so they gave way to it and were driven along. And as they passed to the lee of the small island called Cod, they were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men hoisted it aboard. They then passed ropes under the ship to hold it together because they were afraid they would run aground in the sandbars of Sardis. They then lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw cargo overboard. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Amen? Man, 14 days, imagine. I don't even like to go to Avocado Lake if it's windy, you know? You guys ever been out there? Listen, I would never be a good sailor. I already told you guys, the sailing life is not for me. I'm also not good for prison, to be quite honest with you. All right, I'm just making my confession. We're following the usher theme. Let's put the map up, back up. All right, so they're here now, and he's telling them we should stay here, guys. But no, they want to sail along the island. And while they're sailing along, hurricane force winds start coming down this way, okay? And they get cast over here, see? And so 14 days, they're out here. That's a long time. Can you imagine being out 14 days on a boat with hurricane-type winds? No stars and no sun. You guys imagine what that would look like? That's scary, huh? I'd be the first one. I'd be crying. I'd be like, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown? No, that's a different story. Okay. But they didn't listen to him. And they started to give up. And they started throwing things overboard. Why were they throwing things overboard? Because what? The waves and the wind. And they want to make the boat what? Lighter. Yeah. In fact, it's interesting that you read there that they even, it says in verse 19, it says, on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Now, when you think about tackle, some of you guys are thinking about, oh, they were fishing? The fishermen are a little worm and they're barbecuing fish. That's not what tackle is. Tackle in these times was all the rope and all the equipment they needed to make the boat go. They started throwing even that overboard. That's how desperate they were, guys. They were so worried. They had thrown the cargo and they said, you know what? All the rope and the things that we need to control the boat, forget that. Throw it out too. Right? There's a turning point here. It means something. They were in the middle of the storm, and they had been trying to do what? They had put the anchor. They were doing all kinds of things. You think that they weren't trying to use their sail and use their main mast and everything to go? They were trying. Without what? Success. The boat, they even had to throw ropes underneath it to keep it together. You ever had to do that? No? Duct tape will do it too, brother. Amen. Some of you guys, are you guys the kind of brothers that throw a rope over the top of the car with a mattress on it? You're holding it. We got it. I'm strong. Tony, I can see one brother. Right? Well, what's happening here is that, man, the wind is coming. The boat's falling apart. They're throwing the cargo. And finally they say, you know what, man, even throw away all our navigation things that we need. They finally came to a place where what? They recognized that they were not in control. And listen, sometimes in our own storm, we're trying to do everything we can to fight. We're doing everything. Put the duct tape on my life over here. Let me cover this up over here. Let me not be real with the sin that I have in my life. Let me keep hiding this little thing, the secret sin, the lie that nobody knows. I'll just, the anger that I have inside, my pride, whatever it is that we're doing, right? And we're trying to do it on ourselves. And we're surprised where we're still in the storm. That makes sense? See, the sailors came to a point where they said, man, enough is enough. I've tried everything. And guess what? The storm is still beating us down. That's life, brothers and sisters. That's life. And we're fighting and we're fighting and we're doing everything that we can. But listen, until you let go and let God, the storm keeps coming. Why? Because God wants to put you in a place where you can say, man, you need to trust me. You've done everything that you can. Now, watch me work. I always say, listen, you guys used to watch WWE back in the day. Some of you guys still watch it. It's okay. It's all right. I don't watch it anymore, but for a long time, my brother and I used to watch it. And we always, you guys probably see this, remember the one guy's getting beat up and everybody's tackling him. And then the guy in the corner, remember his tag team partner, he's a tag man right here. I'm ready. You guys remember then? He would be getting beat up, and then he would, like, dive. Ah, slow motion, and tag the guy. And the guy comes in, will go crazy and kick everybody's butt. You guys remember that? That's like us and God. Man, you're getting beat up in life. Your enemies, whatever, everything's happening to you. You're getting big elbowed, The macho man here from the third rope. It feels like life is happening to you like that, right? And listen, you have somebody in your corner. His name is Jesus Christ. And he just say like, man, just ready. Whenever you want, I'm here. Amen? You just need to come to Jesus. You need to surrender. Get out. Enough. Bring it to the one who can actually do something. And see, this is a turning point in this particular passage of Scripture because the men finally gave up. They gave in. They threw in and just said, listen, we're just going to stop. There's a kind of a turning point here. Now they're just say, hey, we're just going to trust. We're going to let go. If you're struggling with that today, if that's you today, listen, you need to let go and let God. Right? You need to dump some cargo too. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But you got to trust God because he's the one who makes a way. Amen? Let's keep reading. All right. Verse 21. It says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice and not sailed for Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You will stand trial before Caesar. God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he has told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Amen? Now that's some good news right there. I don't know about you. But isn't it when you're in the middle of the storm, somebody comes to give you a word of encouragement? Somebody comes and they bring you some food? See, Paul, they've been doing it all this, so they haven't even eaten. They're so stressed out day and night. Paul knows, it's like, hey, you look terrible, brother. You haven't eaten in like 10 days. What's wrong with you? No, he didn't say that. He encourages the sailors, right? He says, listen, you haven't even eaten, guys. But take courage because what? An angel has appeared next to me of my God, of whom I serve. And then he gives them the promise. He says, take what? Take courage. Take courage. Now, that's interesting, right? That's interesting when you're in the middle of the storm. Oftentimes, you'll read it time and time again, that God will say what? Take courage. Stand firm. The Lord your God will fight for you. Now, a lot of times, if we're honest, we would prefer for God just to make the storm go away. God, when we pray this way, don't we? God, take the storm away. Take this issue from me. Take my crazy coworker. Can you like do something? Strike her with lightning. You know? No? No, we don't pray that? Okay. Some of you guys do. No. This person that drives me crazy, can you get him in a headlock, God? Right? You don't ever pray, get me in a headlock. Change my heart, right? Let me see them the way that you see them, God. We don't pray that. We say, get rid of the storm, this pain, take it away from me. And God says what? He says, take courage. Listen, how can you have courage if there's not anything to be afraid of? Does that make sense? You can't have courage without a situation that makes you afraid. Amen? So you can walk around and say, oh, I'm so courageous all the time. Don't worry, wife. I'm here to protect you. And as soon as something happens, you throw her in front. That makes sense? There's somebody scary, hey, get over there. Go check it out. That's not courage, man. You know what I mean? No, courage means that when there is a situation that there's something to be afraid of, that you're still going to stand your ground on Christ, amen? That doesn't mean the absence of fear. It means that fear is there, but I'm still going to be courageous, not in my own strength, but in the strength that God gives me. And so God is, through Paul, is telling the men to say, hey, courage. I'm gonna get you to where you need to be. And that's the first point in today's message. The first point in today's message says, take courage in the sovereignty of God. Take courage in the sovereignty of God. See, the angel had come before Paul and reminded him to say, listen, you're going to go to stand before Caesar. I have a plan for your life. I have a purpose for your life. So God's not done. And guess what? God is in control. That's a very fancy word, right? Sovereignty. It means that God is in control. Now, brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean permission that you get to go home and say, wife, the pastor says, I have sovereignty over the home. That's not, you're like, that's a fancy church word, huh? And some of the wives are like, uh-uh. They already gave me the, already. Whenever I say something like that, there's like a gene in the neck that kind of goes. Yeah, right? The neck goes like, uh-uh. It even does this thing. No, we're not sovereign. God is sovereign, amen? Now, I know, because I said it, husbands and wives, right? We have equal value, different roles to play. Amen? That God has hardwired us differently, not to compete and fight, but to complement each other. That marriage is an amazing blessing that gives us the fullness of who Christ is. Amen? That's another message for another time, but because I touched on it. So take courage that God is sovereign. Listen, thank God that He is sovereign. Amen? And that you're not sovereign. As much as we want to be in control. How many of you guys like to be in control of situations? Four of you guys? Five? Six? All right. The rest of you guys, you might be lying. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. No, listen, we like to be in control, yes or no? Like, I'll tell you the prime example. I always drive whenever we go anywhere. And Stephanie prefers it that way because, number one, I'm going to be telling her, go here, go there. Oh, there's a car over there. It's like, yeah, get out of here, drive. Right? Except for when I'm really tired. Then I'm like, you need to drive because I'm like hallucinating right now. But we struggle with control, right? That was one of my biggest things before I came to Christ. I struggle with control. But guess what? Man, I find so much peace in knowing that God is in control. That God is sovereign. Amen? That means that He has a plan. That means there's no accidents. Now, sometimes I wish that God would have intervened a little earlier, but this knucklehead had to go through what he had to go through before Christ could get to him. That makes sense? And he was sovereign. In verse 25, Paul says what? Keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. Earlier from worship, I told you guys, listen, you're not going to be the first one that causes God to break His promise. God is faithful, and He is kind, and He is just. And we have to, what, call upon Him and bring our problems to Him. So, we can take courage in knowing that He is sovereign. Because listen, I said it earlier, right? Sometimes we think that we're in control, and we make a lot of bad decisions in life, bad decisions in relationships, bad decisions in careers. Does that make sense? Bad decisions sometimes in our parenting. Let's be honest. Yes or no? And it's okay. God is faithful. He is sovereign and He is good. The Bible is what? It's God's, it's a love letter to us. I don't know if you know that. If you read it and you're looking for Jesus, He's in every verse. Amen? About His goodness, about His kindness, about His comes, how He's forgiven, He's patient, He's kind. And the enemy, we know he wants to what? Rob, steal, and kill. But when we follow His commands and we know that He is in control, we can trust Him. Doesn't it feel good when you know you can trust somebody? Do you have people like that in your lives? And no matter what, through thick and thin, they're going to be there. That's human people. And even sometimes our those people that we trust, sometimes they even let us down. God is faithful. He doesn't let us down. And He's in control, so we can trust Him. So, listen, if you find yourself in a storm, what do we need to do? We need to turn to God, amen? We need to surrender, just like the sailors did, and get rid of all this stuff. Get rid of the cargo. Amen. Take courage and know that He is in control. Because here's the other thing too. Listen, if you're in the storm of health, finances, work, conflict, God is not surprised. You ever know? That's what that means. When we put up there that says that God is sovereign, it means that what? That He has a plan. That He's not surprised by it. We might be surprised by it, just like the sailors were surprised by the eastern wind, but that doesn't mean God is not surprised by it. It's not like He's sitting there and He's like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen to them. Do you know what I mean? God is in control. And we take courage in knowing that. Jeremiah 29:11 says what? You guys all know this verse. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, right? Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Right? Jeremiah 29:11. That's our God. He's faithful. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Amen? Not me. I'm like weak. But God is strong. Amen? So the second thing from today's reading is that we can take comfort in the presence of God. Take comfort in the presence of God. In verse 22 and 23, it says, now I urge you to take courage because there will be no loss of your lives, but only of the ship. And he goes on to tell him the story about how the angel stood by him. Listen, doesn't it feel good when life is going bad, you have people that you will reach out to. Right? People that can comfort you. But I always just said, sometimes those people are not available. Man, God is always available. And listen, we find comfort in His presence. In His presence. I remember you guys, I've shared this with you guys before. When Moses was leading the Israelites out, and he was showing up as a pillar of what? The smoke and then the fire. You guys remember that? The cloud and the fire? The cloud by day and the fire by night. You guys remember that? And then God gets so mad because of what happens. He comes down the mountain. The people are stiff-necked. They start worshiping the golden cow. You guys remember that? And a lot of people died that day. Right? Don't mess with God. This is a separate message. But Moses says this amazing thing. He says, listen, God, don't ever let your presence depart from us. Where will we go without your presence? That should be the prayer of all of our hearts. Amen? Now, wherever you go, God, I can take comfort in knowing that God is there. Take comfort in knowing that God is present everywhere, but you have to call upon Him. He's not just going to, listen, God is, you're as near or as far away from God as you want to be. You've heard me say that before. Amen? You need to bring God into the storm. He is in control, and He wants to give you comfort in knowing that He is there. Isaiah 43, verse 2 says, I will be with you when you pass through the waters, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Amen? Man, isn't that amazing? And the God of the universe will strengthen you and provide for you, give you comfort. But sometimes we still want to be, I could do it on my own. I got this, God. You're like my wife when she walks in with 10 grocery bags. I got it. I'm like right here on the couch just watching TV. You could ask for help. It happened to you guys? No, I got it. And then later she's mad because I didn't help her. How about you tell me, Ever happened to you? She's not amused right now. It's okay. She loves me. I'll repent later. Does that ever happen to you, yes or no, brothers? And I'm like, and it was my token line. You like to suffer, huh? Because I want to help. Because I would love to, like, Hey, sweetheart, come and help me get the groceries. Of course, babe. Yes, right away. Whatever you, I'm right here. Right? But if you don't tell me, right? Oh, this is signed to marriage counseling in the back. But sometimes we just need to be called. It's not that we don't want to help, it's just we need to know. Tell me. Yes or no? Tell me. Tell me. That's right. Marriage counseling sign-up sheet in the back. Get back in the car. But listen, that's what we're trying to say. God is present, right? We need to invite him in. Just call him. He wants to come in. Just like your husband wants to help. Let him know. Right? Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Your God. Isn't that awesome? Not so, my God. My precious. Amen? He's your God too, if you trust in Jesus. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Man, that's awesome. So we can take comfort in the presence of God. Here's a reality, brothers and sisters. When you're in the storm, listen, God is with you, but you have to call upon him. When you lose a loved one, God is with you. When you're going through a financial issues or storms, God is with you. When you're going through some kind of a diagnosis, God is with you, right? When you're going through a relationship challenge or whatever it is, God is with you. And his presence changes everything. Amen? Man, sometimes the enemy is a liar. He tells you, man, look, you're abandoned, alone, nobody cares, nobody listens. Get out of here. Right? I told you guys, my devil, he's like that. It's like, right? God is with me. And he upholds me with his right hand. And he's present with us in the storm. And the Bible says what? In the presence of, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen? Peace. And so even in the middle of the storm, we can have peace, right? If we're trusting God. If we're not trying to do it all by ourselves, we have to trust him. The third thing from today's reading, passage, or point is that we can take hope in the purpose that God has for your life. You can take hope for the purpose that God has for your life. See, listen, Paul reassured the sailors and everybody that was on board to say, it's going to be fine because I know that God has a purpose for me. Right? I have to go and testify before Caesar. So I'm going to Rome. And my God has me. And guess what? He's also told me that he's going to keep all of you safe too. Right? So listen, God has, take hope in knowing that you have a purpose. That God has a plan for your life. You're not just here by accident. Right? You know, the culture believes that a monkey is your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, okay? That's science. You're always talking because I only believe in science. Yeah? But no, listen. I know I'm just going to make a small comment about that worldview. What a depressing worldview. That you're here by accident. That there's no plan for your life. That you came from nothing and your life has no value, you're worth nothing, and when you die, you're going to nowhere. What? No wonder everybody's walking around depressed. Right? But when I'm in the Word of God and it tells me that I was created in His image and His likeness, that He has made me for a purpose, that He has a plan for my life, and that when I die, I'm going to go with Him. Man, doesn't that change a lot of my perspective and outlook? Amen? So I think that's what we're talking about is, listen, God, I have hope. And I know that God has a purpose for me. Amen? Listen, as sure as I'm standing here, when I was about Matt's age, you told me that I was going to be planting a church and be a pastor of a church, I would say, man, you got the wrong guy. That's another Michael Rodriguez. He lives somewhere else. Right? But you know what? God is good. He had a plan for my life. He had a purpose for my life. And I can walk in that. Listen, God has a plan for your life and your life and your life. And isn't it, man, when you're walking in His goodness and His plan and His purpose, isn't it awesome? Nothing else compares. And so all I'm saying is like, man, we can take hope in knowing that, man, that God is good. Despite all of my knucklehead decisions that I made in the past where I thought I was right and all this kind of stuff, who cares about all that? He is patient. He is kind. And I can find hope in that. God has a purpose for your life too. You're not here by accident. God has a plan. Amen? In the same way that Paul had a plan for him. Now, you may not be going to Rome or whatever, but maybe God is calling you and say, man, I need you to do something for the kingdom, right? That person that you want me to strike down, your coworker, maybe you need to reach for them for Christ. Your coworker, right? People need to see this faith lived out. You can't just talk about it. We need to see it lived out. Maybe you're the person that's just going to invite the neighbor to come to church. You're going to invite them to coffee and you're going to let them see the goodness of who God is. And you're going to share your testimony about what God has done in your life. And we're going to lift up his name on high, and that's what God is asking you to do. Right? Because what Paul tells us in Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet, right? That go and share the gospel and share the good news. That's good news. Amen? And some of you guys might be grossed out by feet, but you might still have beautiful feet if you go share the gospel. Amen? Take hope in the purpose that God has for your life. Listen, I don't know what storm God has brought your way or whatever trial God has brought your way, you know. Just know that it's for his glory, you know. Just 2 weeks ago, we celebrated my son Ethan's graduation and his 18th birthday. You guys know he's my oldest. And for the you guys here in the room, three of my boys are on the spectrum somewhat. God is good, right? I feel blessed. I love them like it's nobody's business. What is God doing? I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm trusting in him. Amen? And listen, I sometimes people say, I'll share something like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, don't be all scared for me. I know the Creator. I know that he has a plan and a purpose. Amen? Man, you don't know the things the miracles that God has worked because of my son Ethan. You don't know. God is good, guys. He is so good. And I know that this is not it. I told you guys, I know where I came from. I know my plan because I'm walking in his purpose. I know where I'm going. And listen, I've told you guys this before. The thing that always breaks my heart is I come home and I say, Ethan, how's your day? Good. Everything? Bad. You hungry? Yes. Right? He's a man of little words. When I get to heaven one day, me and him, we're going to be chatting up a storm about Jesus. Amen? I don't, you know what? It's okay. This life is like this compared to an eternity with the Lord. Amen? And I know some of you are like, believe me, guys. Believe me. God is faithful. He is true. And so I don't know what storm or what things God has put your way, what challenges, but listen, it's not for naught. God is, he is true and he is good. So you can take purpose, right? Take hope in the purpose that he has for your life. James 1, verses 2 and 4 says what? Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must complete its work so that you may be mature and complete and what? Lacking nothing. I know, that one's hard. You're going to be like Lieutenant Dan. Bunch of Lieutenant Dans. Bring it on, God. Remember that scene? When he's in the thing and the storm is coming, he's like, yeah, that are you, God. That should be our walk of faith. I mean, bring it on for Jesus. Bring that storm on. That's what he's saying. Consider it pure joy. When the storm is coming, when you face trial, because what? It produces perseverance. Right? Listen, if there's no tests, how do you know how deep your faith is? There's no test. That's the biggest struggle that we have against, listen, the culture that we live in. You live in California, Sanger, Reedley, Orange Cove. Listen, man, you are so blessed. I mean it. That when Jesus says, like, pray like this for my daily bread, like, when was the last time that we sincerely prayed, thank you, God, for this bread? I was starving until I had it. I'm going to give you guys my side profile. I haven't prayed that prayer in a long time. Okay, I'm not praying for God's daily bread. He's over-provided. right? I do pray before I eat every meal, okay? But what he's trying to say is like, man, when you need God like that, you know what I mean? I know that struck a bone with some of you guys. You're like, yep, I'm there, but Pastor, thank you. When you need God like that, right? Man, God is so good. But we will be, what the trials bring, maturity and completeness, lacking nothing. The point I was saying is that oftentimes the blessing clouds us from having a need for God. But the trial is what brings us back. And that's what James is telling us. Consider it pure joy then, because that's strengthening your faith. Romans 8:28 says what? We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. All things, good and bad, coming together for his purpose. Now, of course, the key there is that you have to love God, right? And you're called according to his purpose, not your purpose, not your will be done, but that God's will be done, that his purpose will be lived out in your life. And so we know that God is good. And here's the reality, brothers and sisters, your suffering, it won't be wasted. God doesn't waste a trial. He doesn't waste a storm. God uses every drop, every tear, right, for his own glory. Amen? He's going to accomplish his purpose in us. Now let's keep reading. I'm going to read a big chunk, and this will be the last kind of point because I'm running out of time. Okay. Verse 27 says, Verse 27. On the 14th night, they were still driven across the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were approaching land, and they took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found that it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that they would be dashed against the rock, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Prayed for daylight, right? And in an attempt to escape the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors. And then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes and held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them to eat and said before they had not eaten for 14 days. And again, in constant suspense about where they have gone without food, without eating anything. "Now I urge you, take some food. You need it to survive. None of you will lose a single hair from your head." And after this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them. Then he broke it, began to eat, and they were all encouraged, and they ate some food themselves. There were 276 on board. 276 is a lot. That's a big boat, guys. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea now. Daylight came. They did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach and decided to run the ship aground and cut loose the anchors. They left them in the sea at the same time and tied the ropes that held the rudders. Then the hoist and the foresail to the wind made for the beach, but the ship hit a sandbar, right? Ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move. The stern was broken to pieces and poured and pounding to the surf. They hit a sandbar. The boat collapses, right? Do you guys see that? The soldiers still then planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could to swim overboard first and get to land. And the rest were able to get there on planks and other pieces of the ship. And in this way, everyone reached the land safely. Amen. Bring the map up again. So finally, they sail out here. 14 days, they're out here. And finally, there's a little tiny island here called Malta, where the passage that we just read, they land here, and they all get to, 276 get to that island safely, right? Isn't that awesome? Now, the fourth point of today's message is to say, number four, don't backslide, take strength in the promises of God. When you're in the middle of the storm, don't backslide, take strength in the promises of God. See, the soldiers, you guys, some of the sailors, what did they try to do? It was at night. They were pretending that they were going to drop an anchor and they were trying to get into the lifeboat. See, And Paul says, didn't I already tell you? Didn't I already give you a plan? If one of you guys leave, we're not all going to make it. Don't backslide in your own storm. Don't try to do your own plans, your own creativity. You're going to figure it out. No, listen to what God has to say. That makes sense? Don't backslide. Your plan is what you got you into the storm sometimes. You don't know better than God. Amen? So don't be trying to go, but well, God isn't showing up. Why isn't he? No, you be faithful. Keep praying. Keep seeking him out. God is good. He's going to see you through it. Now, they were in that storm for 14 days. You might be praying longer than 14 days. Your storm might last 3 months. It might last a year. It might last 2 years. But God is faithful. Don't backslide. Take strength in the promises of God. See, they were trying to take the plans away from God again. This is, oh, let's just sneak into the boat. No, right? And then again, he said, the other soldiers are, well, let's just kill all these guys. That wasn't part of the plan either. Right? Trust in God and the plans that he has. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and bring it to a closing. Because I know some of you guys want to go get some lunch, and I don't want to be the king that keeps you passing out from eating. But listen, life, you're going to go through storms. In life, there's going to be challenges, battles. We're not exempt from them, brothers and sisters. No, listen, that we have put in our faith in God in the middle of the storm, that is a choice. You can try to trust yourself or you can trust in God. Right? And we should trust in, why? Who should we trust in? We should trust in God, right? Because last week we sang a song, did we sing that song? I Trust in God? Right? We can trust him. That's right. Sing it, sister. Yeah. I'm telling you. Shh, man. Worship team, come on, sister. That's right. Let's do it. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Amen? In the middle of the storm, you can choose to have faith, right? You can choose to believe or not believe God. You can believe in yourself, or you can believe in God. Who are you going to believe in? Right? You can choose to believe that God is sovereign in the storm, and that nothing is beyond his control. Or you can lack faith. You can choose to believe that God is present with you in the storm. Or you can not believe. And you can choose to believe that what? That God is working all things for his good. Right? For his will. According to those he has called, according to his purpose. You're not going to be the first one, right, that's going to make God break his promises. And we take comfort in that. You don't have to fear. We don't have to be hopeless. We can experience, right, and have courage and the comfort that we know and be filled with the strength that we find in who? In Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you're facing a storm, listen, hold on to God. Hold on to God. He is faithful. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you for just giving this opportunity, Lord, to know that you are with us in the storm. Lord, you're not surprised. You're not absent, Lord. You are there in the middle of the storm, Lord God. And in you, we can take courage in knowing that you are sovereign, Lord God. We can know that you are in control, that you are faithful, you are kind. And where you are, Lord God, there is comfort, there's peace, there's strength, Lord God. We're reminded, Lord, that you're not done with us. Lord, if you wake us up, it means that you're not done with us. And we can have hope in that, Lord, in the purpose that you have for our lives. Thank you, Lord God, that you are awesome and good. Father God, I pray right now for our family in here, that maybe they're in the middle of a storm, Lord God. And I just pray that they seek you out fully, Lord. That they surrender, Lord. And get rid of some of that baggage, Lord. Get rid of some of that extra cargo, some of the things that need to be tossed out, Lord. And sometimes it's our own decisions, Lord. Sometimes it's our sin, Lord God. Sometimes it's relationships. We need to get lighten the load, Lord God, and trust you. Even the things that we think we need to navigate this life, let them all go, Lord God. We're going to trust you. You're good. But Lord, work in our lives, Lord God. If that's us this morning, Lord, we need to surrender something to you, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, will you reveal it to us right now? Help us to surrender it, Lord. Our anger, our hurt, trauma, Lord. Yeah, we need to process it, but you, it first comes, Lord, by identifying it, So Holy Spirit, will you do that, Lord God? Will you bring it to the surface, Lord? Will you help us to address it, Lord God? Will you fill us with grace and mercy, Lord, if we need to have conversations? But our first real conversation needs to be with you. And we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. We can trust you, Lord. You are faithful and you're good. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord God, you are not surprised. Thank you that your plan was always to save us, Lord God, to come and take human form and to surrender your life on the cross, Lord God, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the reconciliation between us and the Father, so that we can receive the Holy Spirit, so we can be here in this moment, Lord God. You're not surprised. Lord, if we're going through a health situation, Lord, we're grieving the loss of a loved one, or we're having a relationship issue, Lord, or our finances are strained, Lord, whatever the storm might be, let us not walk in fear, but let us draw near to you. Let us to run to you, Lord God, and find our comfort and strength, and build our faith, Lord God, that you're working all things, Lord God, for your good, for our good, but for your glory. Lord God, watch over our church. Bless us, guide us, Lord God. Protect us. Will you be at the center of our marriages, Lord God? Will you help us to love sacrificially, Lord? Will you help us to love the way that you want us to love? Will you fill us with grace and mercy and forgiveness? Will the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our everyday lives, Lord God? People might be able to taste and see of your goodness through how we're living our life, that you have already come, Lord God, that heaven is manifested on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit and what you're doing in the life of the believers, Lord God. Thank you again for all your goodness, your kindness, Lord. You're an awesome God. We praise you, Lord God, in the storm, wherever you are, Lord God, any days and sunny days through the trials, Lord. You are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of our adoration and praise. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.